Hey Veritas, welcome to the Sunday recap. We are talking through Ian's message through Romans 8 verses 12 through 17. So I got Randall from the Adult Ministry Department here.
Hey.
Talking through basically our connection group questions for this week. Mm-hmm. So Randall, how does it define our identity? What are some things that you remember from the passage? In fact, I can read it that talk about our identity here.
Yeah, so, I think just adoption as sons. I would love to.
Yeah.
Read it for us. Mm-hmm. No, oh, okay, I'll do it. Is it 12?
12 through 17. 17.
Yeah. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him.
Amen. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good stuff. Okay. Identity, first off, just define, when we talk about our identity, what do we mean there?
Yeah, I think for me, identity is just how you define yourself and your life. And so for us to have an identity in Christ, we talk a lot about our identity in Christ and how, for me, that means how I define myself. So if my identity is in Christ, I no longer define myself. Christ defines who I am, and Christ's finished work on the cross defines who I am. Which is good news, because me defining myself is not great.
Right.
Especially, it talks about living by the flesh and fleshly desires, because that's my nature. That's who I am as a human with a sinful nature.
Totally.
So it's good news to be defined with an identity in Christ. Yeah.
And so often identity shows up as the thing that we fall back to when we're pushed, when we're pressured, when we struggle. So some people put their identity in something that can be shaken. Maybe someone, you were an athlete in high school or college, and that got taken away from you through an injury or through graduation, and all of a sudden you have to redefine yourself, or a career transition, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay, some of the identity language in here. Talking about adoption.
Mm-hmm.
What other identity language we see showing up?
Yeah.
Talking
about, children of God, and just how we live. If we're living according to the flesh, if we're living by the Spirit, I think is all identity language.
Yeah. So Ian said the Holy Spirit changes who you belong to, how you live, and what you inherit. And you're saying that in Christ is kind of that who you belong to piece, right?
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought about it in terms of belonging? Do you think about your relationship with God in terms of belonging?
Yeah. I think this is a new idea for me. Seeing God as a father and me belonging to him as a child is a new idea that I've been exploring the more that I study the Trinity and God as a father, God as a father to Jesus, God as a father to me, and just how that works. So I think that's a new idea that I've been exploring the past couple months.
In Veritas School of Theology.
Veritas School of Theology.
We haven't told you about that too much yet. You'll find out later. Young scholar Randall over here. I like it. Okay.
Sure.
So with that, one of the questions for Connection Group this week is, how does God being our father change your emotions, especially with dealing with fear in life?
Yeah. I think this passage is a great place. We're no longer slaves to fear in our lives because God is our father.
Mm-hmm.
And Ian talked about how it changes what we inherit and that we inherit the things of God and we inherit God himself.
Yeah.
Being in the kingdom family, we are no longer slaves to fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think fear is a natural reaction to things.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't know, I mean, for me, fear is always the knee-jerk reaction, kind of the natural reaction to things. But then I'm able to take a step back and reframe, remember my identity in Christ, reframe my emotions, not to be defined by my circumstance, but to be defined by my identity in Jesus.
Yeah.
And when God is your father, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Mm.
And I just, that's a statement, and that's a bold statement.
Yeah.
But the more that I think about it and the more that I learn to know and love Jesus, the more true that is.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be challenging to some of you. And so I would challenge you to rub into, to really kind of lean in and think through that. Like, when God is your father, you don't have anything to fear.
And the way we deal with our fear matters.
Yeah.
Like, we don't look at our fear and go, oh, it's bad, it's wrong to feel fear, therefore don't feel fear, right?
Yeah.
We do something different than just kind of beat ourselves up for feeling emotion.
Or like shove it down.
Right.
Like, let's deal with it, but let's deal with it in a godly way.
And the way we do that is we preach our identity, we preach what God has done as a bigger truth, because some of the things that you fear are reasonable to
totally.
Fear, right?
Yeah.
The economy's unstable.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a difficult political climate.
Yep.
Like, our social lives are being disrupted. There's injustices happening in the world. There's personal tragedies. There's sin struggles. Like, there are real things in life to fear. But we take one step back and we look at what God has done for us and who He is for us actively now. And that truth kind of beats this truth, right?
Yeah.
So God being our Father actually does change our emotions.
Yeah.
Or should change our emotions, because it's not just us to deal with these things.
Yeah. And I think it's how we deal with them too.
Yeah.
Where it's not wrong to fear something, but the passage says we're no longer a slave to fear.
That's
when
good.
Fear overtakes you and you aren't able to function in your life because you're paralyzed by fear, that's where the truth of the gospel speaks in.
Does fear only show up in paralysis and anxiety?
Oh, no.
It's a leading question, right?
No.
Obviously, it's no.
Right.
Where else does fear show up in our lives? Maybe if I'm not someone who would be categorized by anxiety and paralysis in that regard, where else would fear show up?
I still think like you said, like, the economy is... maybe you're fearful of what your bank account looks like.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something that you have defined yourself by, that your identity is in.
Yeah.
Like you said, being an athlete. Or, I mean, there's fear everywhere, every day. As a parent, I think we both have fears, you know?
Yeah.
Especially of little kids. Like, what are they going to be like? Are they going to love Jesus?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's
she didn't even like me.
Right?
I don't know. She likes me now, but she's like 4 months old.
Right.
So.
She doesn't know him that well yet.
No.
Yep. So, yeah, I think, you know, there's fear in everyday life, for sure.
Yeah.
But we don't have to be slaves to it.
And maybe the conversation will come up in connection group, and you're processing to yourself going like, well, I don't react like that, but maybe you actually have been driven to success through fear. Fear of failure motivating you.
Sure.
I'm going to work harder. I'm going to prove myself. I'm going to impress, because if I don't, where will I be in life? So fear might still be a motivator, even if you look like you're productive and performing and successful. But you could be in slavery if you're paralyzed by anxiety, or if you're driven so hard, but you're still afraid. And again, the verse that you quoted, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. What does it mean to be adopted as sons? Ian, kind of unpack that a little bit.
Yeah. I appreciated that Ian gave a little shout out to the ladies, because I think a lot of times we forget that the Bible was written for us, but not to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the context of the time matters.
Yeah.
And so it's important that we're adopted as sons, because daughters didn't inherit back in, you know, in this time.
Yep.
So that language is important, and that language matters.
Yeah.
And as a woman, I'm thankful that it says adopted as sons because of inheritance purposes. Like, that is what it's trying to address. It's not making a differentiation between genders. It's making a differentiation of inheritance.
A status.
A status in that world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
And so, yeah, I think... that inheritance that can be really confusing, because like, inheritance to us means something different than what's being conveyed here, where inheritance to us can be like money or maybe a house or a lot of times inheritance comes with a lot of headaches, taxes and and so this is a different type of inheritance where we are fellow heirs with Christ, meaning we inherit righteousness.
Yeah.
We inherit God as a father.
Yeah.
We inherit the kingdom of God as sons and daughters of a Most High King.
Yeah.
And that's better than money or houses or taxes or, you know, like, that's better
than
all of better than
taxes.
There's a lot of things better than taxes.
Yeah.
You should pay your taxes.
but
it's... it's a really beautiful picture.
Yeah.
And inheritance is a great descriptor. Mm-hmm. It's a great mm-hmm. word to use of what we get and
yeah.
how we get it. Because when you inherit something, you didn't do anything for
right.
it.
You're
just in a family,
yeah.
and you get the benefits
yeah.
of being in that family. And when you're in God's family, you get the benefits of the work of Christ.
Yeah. And there's this kind of already but not yet mm-hmm. reality
mm-hmm.
where we have a guaranteed sure inheritance
yeah.
coming that we don't get to fully experience
totally.
Yet, right?
Yeah.
We still have benefits of being in the family with
mm-hmm.
God, but we don't get to fully enjoy all of the kingdom benefits
yeah.
coming yet.
Yeah.
Even though they're still true and real
mm-hmm.
and a guarantee based on the finished work of Christ.
Yeah.
How does that reality, what's one spot that should affect your life this week?
Yeah. Good question.
Wow, thanks.
Wow, I don't know the answer to this.
You and I wrote these questions.
I know, we
yeah.
did, but that's a really good question.
But by the way, I just want to say, in connection group, in relationships, we want questions like this to happen where you go, okay, here's the truth. What does that look like?
How do I apply that? Yeah.
How does that change my
mm-hmm,
life?
Yeah. I think that can come back to fear. Like,
yeah.
this is how you conquer fear,
yeah.
knowing inheritance. I think a lot of times, going back to kind of what Michael preached on last week too, like how we live and how we die,
yeah.
like
yeah.
we're not slaves to fear, and that includes not fear of death
mm.
because of our inheritance.
Yeah.
And you kind of talked about that already, not yet.
Yeah.
And that changes when we die, but it also doesn't change when we die. There's still an already, not yet kind
yeah.
of dichotomy going on until Christ returns.
Yeah.
And so... But yeah, I think that that really allows us to live with confidence
mm-hmm.
in the finished work of Jesus.
Yeah.
And because of that confidence, we can be disciples and disciple makers
yeah.
in our context, in our spheres of influence, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, without fear
mm-hmm.
because of the finished work of Jesus.
Like your identity as a part of the family matters for mission because God's
mm.
put you as his child in your neighborhood.
In your specific context,
yeah.
yeah.
He put you in your workplace,
mm-hmm.
he put you in your neighborhood, he put you in the family that you're in
yeah.
to be a witness to what it looks like when God adopts somebody
yep.
and gives them life. And I think for me, I can fear the future and I miss thinking about the future beyond the future, right?
Mm.
Like the inheritance
mm-hmm.
actually coming.
Yeah.
And so I can live as if parts of my future are on the line. I've got to plan this out, work this out, sort this out, which there's wisdom in that.
Totally.
But my emotions are affected by those plans and fears of those plans rather than by the future beyond those, the guaranteed
mm-hmm.
inheritance. And so mm-hmm. I think what I need to do this week is when those worries come up or when I find myself working as if there is that
yeah.
much on the line,
mm-hmm.
I need to go back to these verses and preach my sonship
yeah.
to myself
yeah.
in that. And have my emotions changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you think groups should talk about this week as we wrap up?
I think something that I would encourage you to talk about is just, like, how does this change the way that you confess and repent of sin?
Yeah.
Because when your identity is in Christ, you're able to do that.
Yeah.
Confessing and repenting sin is not something that happens in normal everyday life. That
right.
happens in the context of the family of God. And so I would challenge groups to just take some time to confess and repent.
Yeah.
Maybe not as a big group. Maybe you break up into smaller groups.
Yeah. Men and women.
Yeah. Totally. And just spend some time reflecting on your identity because of Jesus and
yeah.
your ability to repent
and
confess sin. And then take the next step. Because sometimes we're like, yeah, confess and repent,
mm-hmm.
and confess, like,
mm-hmm.
do these things. But then take the next step and praise God that you're able to do that
yeah.
and that your sin has been covered.
Yeah.
Like,
preach the gospel to
preach
that.
The gospel to
yeah.
into that and
yeah.
and praise God for that,
yeah.
what he's done and what you are able to do and how you're able to live
yeah.
because of the accomplished work.
Yeah. You can cry out to your Father.
Yeah.
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 Well, thanks for joining us for Sunday Recap. We hope this just jumpstarts the conversations you guys have together as we grow to love Jesus more because he's loved us first. Take care, guys.